Go ahead and pull out your copies of God's Word. Tonight we're going to be looking at John chapter 6. And if you're using one of the red pew Bibles, we're on page 891. As you're turning there, tonight what we're going to be doing is specifically looking at verse 35. And I'll read it in a few minutes, but because John 6 is such a long chapter, and there are so many significant things going on in the chapter, I wanted to make sure that we understood the context. John 6 starts off on the previous day from verse 35 with Jesus on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And we see that Jesus takes a little boy's lunch, like a Lunchable, and feeds 5,000 men, plus the women and children. Everyone ate their fill, and there were even 12 baskets left over. Because of this, the crowd got stirred up. They wanted to take Jesus and make him king by force. Jesus was having none of that. So he sends his disciples across the Sea of Galilee, and he withdrew to the mountain. That night, Jesus walks on the water. He calms the Sea of Galilee, and he rescues his disciples as they travel across to the Sea of Capernaum. The next day, the crowds are looking for Jesus, probably because they wanted another free meal. And so they follow Jesus across the Sea of Galilee to Capernaum as well. They find Jesus in the synagogue of Capernaum, and a dialogue begins with Jesus. Jesus starts off this dialogue with them with a rebuke. He basically says, "Why are you seeking me?" He tells them, "Why are you seeking me? Don't be working for food that perishes, but to labor and work for the food that endures for eternal life." They ask, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" And Jesus tells them, "The work of God is to believe in him who he has sent." They want to know what they must do. What works can we do? Jesus says, "You can't do anything, but just believe in me." Jesus is reminding them of the simplicity of coming to him. We must trust him. We must have faith in Christ alone. Verse 29 tells us there's only one thing you can do: believe in him. But they don't get it. They start asking for another sign. They want proof that he is greater than Moses, and refer back to the manna that was given to Israel when they were in the wilderness, wandering for 40 years. And they say, "He, Moses, gave them bread from heaven to eat." So how does Jesus respond to that? Well, let's pick up in verse 32, and we'll read through verse 35. Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." This is the word of God. So going back to our question before we read the text, how does Jesus respond to the people's claim that it was Moses that gave them the bread from heaven? He emphatically and solemnly says it was not Moses, but his Father in heaven. He then goes on to expound on the reality that though the manna was good, in fact, it fed and nourished the Israelites for 40 years while they were wandering in the wilderness, but it wasn't true bread from heaven. It was just pointing to the true bread of God, which is Jesus. And he has come not just to feed us a meal, not just to fill our stomachs and meet a temporary need, but he comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Jesus is trying to get them to understand that is who he is. That we have a greater need, and he has come to meet that need. But they still don't get it. What do they say? They say, "Give us this bread always." The word always here indicates a series of events and occasions. Basically, what they are saying to Jesus is, let's hang out a lot. And every time we do spend time together, give us this bread. Give us this bread of life you're talking about over and over and over and over again. So, as you can only imagine, for Jesus, that he wants to give up on this conversation. I know I would. Or just walk away. But Jesus doesn't. He appeals to them with the first of his I am statements. This is the first of the seven I am statements that we see Jesus share in the book of John. And Jesus is saying, I am, which is a deliberate restating of the phrase God uses for himself when he is commissioning Moses at the burning bush. Remember the story? Moses is asked to go deliver the nation of Israel from slavery. And Moses says, who do I tell them has sent me? God tells Moses in Exodus 3:14, tell them I am has sent you. Jesus uses the same words from Exodus to identify himself. So it would have been perfectly clear to the crowd and the people in the synagogue that day who Jesus was claiming to be. There would have been no mistake. He's claiming to be the great I am, the one who delivered them from the slavery of Egypt. The great I am, the one who fed them in the desert for 40 years, the manna from heaven. Jesus was claiming to be God. But he doesn't stop there. He says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. The nature of bread, as we kind of unpack this verse, that's what I want to start off with, is just the nature of bread and really talk about three things about the nature of bread. I believe today that some of the power of this image of bread is lost on us as a culture. When I think of bread, I'm thinking of going out to a restaurant and the waiter asks if we would like some bread with our meal. And as most of y'all know, I have four kids, so the answer is always, yes, please, and bring some more, because we're going to eat it so fast. But in reality, bread is optional, right? It's just a filler, or something we view as a way to hold us over until the really good stuff comes. In fact, I know what I think. I was like, I don't want to eat too much bread because I can't wait for the meal, the good meal, the steak or the chicken or whatever it is that I'm going to eat next is coming. So for us, bread is not essential. And it is not necessary to sustain life for us in the 20th century. But in the days of Christ, bread was one of the main parts of the meal. It wasn't optional, but it was essential. Jesus is telling the crowd in the synagogue and us today that if we want to truly live and have eternal life, that he's not optional, but he is essential. The second thing about the nature of bread that I want to point out is that bread is suited for everyone. Going back to my early story about going out to eat at a restaurant and the waiter asking if my family would like bread. That story is not unique to my family, is it? We all have been in a restaurant. We've all been asked, would you like bread? Some of you might say no because you think it's poison because there's gluten in it, right? But for most of us, we know that the waiter ask everyone if they want bread. And the reason is because bread is suited for all. James Montgomery Boyce comments on this verse and he says, Jesus is for all. He is for you. He is the Savior of the world. And that includes the peasant as well as the king on his throne. He has what you need. What is more, he knows you, and he knows how to meet that need. The third thing I want to point out about the nature of the bread is its satisfying nature. Jesus said that whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Apart from Christ, nothing satisfies. Jesus uses these basic appetites of hunger and thirst to show us how he is the only thing that can truly satisfy us. C.S. Lewis said, I cannot find a cup of tea big enough or a book long enough. We know the feeling, right? It might not be tea or books, but it's something in your life that leaves you wanting more. I remember back when I was in high school thinking, if I could just get that girl, if I could just have that truck, if I could just get in that friend group, if I could just achieve a certain level of success on the football field, then I would be truly satisfied and fulfilled. But you know what? It happened. I got the girl, got the truck, I got the friends, I got the success in the football field. Was I satisfied? No. I wasn't. I was still hungering and thirsting for more. And I don't know what it is for you, but whatever it is, it doesn't last, does it? We get the job, we get the pay raise, we build our dream house, you get the new car, you buy the vacation home, you get the new clothes. Whatever it is, it eventually will leave us hungering and thirsting for more. You see, none of the bread of this world is suited to satisfy your soul. We were made so that only Jesus, the true bread of life, can truly satisfy us. I want to end my time with a little bit of thoughts on three different groups that I believe are here tonight. I believe we have feasters, the famished, and the fans. Feasters, famished, and fans. The first group I want to call the feasters. The feasters are those of you who have come here tonight and you've believed and you are enjoying a deep relationship with Christ through daily fellowship with him, through his word and prayer. You are living out the daily realities that Christ is essential. You are sharing him with all freely. And your soul's deepest longings are being satisfied in Christ alone. And you're here tonight to deepen that partaking of Christ as we come around the table tonight and celebrate the Lord's Supper. The second group I want to call is the famished. The famished have come to Jesus and believe in him. But Jesus hasn't been as spiritually real to you as you want him to be. You are famished because you have forgotten that the bread of life is essential for all of life. But I have good news for you. There is no better way to renew your commitment to Jesus than by coming to the table, confessing your need for him, asking him to forgive you for your sins, and by faith, committing to live for him. If I could guess, most of us in this room are somewhere between those first two groups. Feasters are famished. But I don't want to be naive to the fact that there's a third group who I want to call fans. The fans are just like the crowd in John 6 that we've been learning about. You want the benefits and the blessings of being around Jesus, but you don't want to come to him and believe in him. You keep waiting for another sign. You keep looking and eating for the manna of this world. But let me warn you, Jesus said that if you just eat the manna, you will die. So let me end with this plea. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and believe in him. This is the invitation that he gave the crowd in the synagogue. But they complicated it. They wanted another sign. Jesus said, it's not complicated. Believe in me. Trust in me. Take me in as your bread of life. I am essential for you to have life. I am for you. I am the only bread that can satisfy your soul. Stop wasting your time and energy on that which will only lead to death. Come to me, believe in me, and have life. Isaiah 55 says, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live. Let us pray. Father God, we just come to you tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you are the bread of life. That you don't leave us to perish. You don't leave us with just the manna of the world to eat so that we will die. But you have come as the bread of life. And you haven't made it complicated. You made it simple. We are to believe in you. We are to come to you and believe in you. We praise you for that reality, that you are the true bread from heaven. And I pray that we would trust in you, that we would seek you, because you are essential. I pray, Lord, that we would love you and trust in you and seek you because you are for all. And Lord, I pray that we would love you and trust you and seek you tonight because you are the one that ultimately satisfies our souls. Lord, we love you. We pray you would prepare our hearts to feast at your table tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.